Super chat from Acre Frey. Now that Aidan Gillen's Game of Thrones career has finished, you should get him on as a guest.
Well, that would be an amazing get. We'll try. I don't have much holding out much hope for that.
We'll see if we can get him when we do our coverage of The Wire.
Yeah.
Tommy Carchetti Littlefinger.
That would be great, though. We've never really tried to get anyone famous as an interview thing. We haven't really done interviews, but I'm game to try. You know, if he agrees to do it, we'll figure it out.
From Hiragi Kawaii Super Chat, where is Gendry and where is the boat heading? Winterfell, White Harbor, Eastwatch? I'm pretty sure it's headed to White Harbor. They talked about bringing the Unsullied up through White Harbor. That doesn't mean they're going to follow the same route, but that is where ships generally go when they're going north. They go to White Harbor and everything kind of... That's the main port there in the north, at least on the eastern seaboard. There isn't really a major port on the western seaboard at all, as far as the north goes.
If they're going to Eastwatch...
Yeah, they're going to need to turn around.
But maybe by the time they get there, the...
Like, what happened here?
Past, the walls, yeah.
What happens when you don't have Night's Watch up there? You gotta keep that thing maintained. It just falls apart.
Like, what could the Night's Watch have done, though, right?
They couldn't have done anything. So I think White Harbor, and then they're gonna go to Winterfell from there. Remember, they also talked about how Dany, because like, Dany could go ahead on your dragon. She's like, no, I'm gonna arrive with everybody else.
No, that doesn't answer the question about Gendry, though.
Gendry, we don't know.
Shay, you did a poll, right, on Twitter?
Yeah.
What was the feedback from that?
Going to Winterfell.
I think that's what I thought also.
He's going to Winterfell.
Yeah, we definitely didn't see him at Eastwatch. We certainly didn't see him at King's Landing or at Dragonstone. So, and I really don't think they killed him off screen. Gendry's in the rubble there.
This is a perfect example of how an issue like this, I just consider that a group of people sat around and wrote this. And I don't think that all of them just forgot about Gendry. I think they made a decision. And the decision might have been as simple as, well, we could have him do this. What about this? Well, he does that. He can't do that. Well, I don't know. Well, what about this? I don't know. You know what? Let's just hold on. Let's not pigeonhole ourselves into something now. We'll figure it out later. To me, it seems like the obvious answer, that they just made a decision to hold back because they weren't sure where they're going to go with this character.
You're right. They could have Gendry retroactively have been here or here or there. But they almost certainly won't retroactively decide that he's dead.
Right. I agree with that.
Killing people off screen like that just isn't... They just can't... It's already confusing enough for so much of the viewing audience. We are paying attention to Gendry. You know, you guys are paying attention to Gendry. But the wider show fandom... isn't asking, what happened to that dude with the hammer? You know, maybe one person out of 100 is asking that in the Wire
and,
show
and
fandom,
if they do, they might even end up watching our show or rewatching the episode or asking their friends, you know. But they probably aren't gonna, that person probably isn't like, well, they might have gone to Eastwatch or Winterfell or White. They've never heard of White Harbor.
You know? Yeah, they're like, White Harbor, where's that?
Yeah. They don't know what the options are to narrow down.
So it's just kind of a big open question. That's a good call, though. By leaving it open, they have an option for later.
Super chat from Elon Stieritz. What if Tyrion revealed to Cersei that Dany can't have children and promised that Cersei's child would be heir to the Iron Throne after Dany's death, making him concerned about Jon and Dany making a kid? Oh, okay. Well, surely Tyrion wouldn't have presented such an idea to Cersei. Well, if he presented that idea, I don't think he would be worried about her having a kid. If he thinks she can't have kids, then Jon shacking up with her shouldn't change that. Like, he's like, oh, but unless he hooks up with Jon, then she can have a kid, because he's... No. I guess he shouldn't be worried about that, if that's what he said to her. Also, kind of doubt that there's anything said between Cersei and Tyrion of note that happened off screen. That doesn't feel right to me.
A lot of people think it did. I didn't even consider it till I saw people proposing the idea, and then I started to wonder about it. And I wonder about it extra since there seems to have been conversation between Sansa and Arya off screen. So
yeah,
you know, maybe Tyrion did say like, look, once XYZ happens, then I'll do this. I'll come back to you. If your child is born, I'll support the Lannisters, or, you know, something like that.
Doesn't seem like that would work out, though, if she's just planning on betraying them anyway.
Well, Tyrion also might have just lied. He just told Jon, just lie, man, come on. Sure. Tyrion could have just lied to Cersei, but now he still might be considering the repercussions of the lie, or if he gets caught in a lie, or et cetera, et cetera.
Right on. All right, another super chat from Snow and Winterfell. So now we know Cersei will be plotting. Jaime is up north. Golden Company on the way. Who is the final villain going to be? Night King or Cersei? Hard to tell now. Well, I guess maybe there isn't going to be a final villain. I mean, you mean like who will be the last villain standing? Maybe that's what he means by that. Because obviously there'll be villains at the same time, and Euron is along with them, I assume.
Yeah.
But who will die first, perhaps, is the takeaway from this question. Cersei or Night King? That's tough. I feel like Cersei, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's interesting.
This is a question that I have not considered at all.
I have been sort of assuming that Cersei's going to get her comeuppance. And I have also been assuming that the Night King will be defeated. But he might get defeated without being killed.
Okay.
And I guess that's also true of Cersei. Mm. But I still think that someone is going to kill Cersei. So I don't know. I'm going to predict the Night King outlasts Cersei. That's what I'm going with at the moment.
Okay. It could be that Night King is the one who kills Cersei if he comes all the way south and just destroys King's Landing. Because she obviously won't leave King's Landing. She never leaves. No. We've established that she's stuck there.
Here's the thing. I think for someone to kill Cersei, it has to be almost a complete surprise. Because we saw the Battle of Blackwater Bay when Cersei thought they were going to lose. She was just going to take poison, give her kid and herself poison. She wasn't going to let herself be captured, right? Mm. And so I think that it's got to be someone stabbing her in the back, you know. If the Night King is overtaking King's Landing, that probably won't happen so suddenly that she can't just take her own life first. Or maybe burn it all down with wildfire before it happens or something like that.
That makes sense. Yeah, I could see that. I see someone say, or Cersei joins the Night King. Well, we don't know if such a thing is possible, but maybe she'll give her kids a Night King, like Craster. I kind of doubt that, but I don't know how she would learn that that's even a thing.
Next.
But yeah, I like thinking about it, even as unlikely as it sounds. Super chat from Bonnie Bracken. Bonnie Bracken, you've got a Game of Thrones theme name. Always like to see that. Love the show. Thanks for producing such great content. I can see Jon abdicating the throne or ruling together with Dany. Maybe this is how they will break the wheel. Thoughts? Well, one thing I think we can be certain about is that Jon does not have the ambition to be the king, even if he is the heir. He doesn't have the ambition. He's not going to be like, oh, I'm the king, not you, Dany. That's not Jon Snow. I don't think he's like that at all. That would go against 7 seasons of his personality very clearly spelled out for us. What do you think? I mean, so this does seem possible that he would... Like, they could resolve this by marrying and being like, okay, well, we're king and queen together. Now, normally, it's not usually that simple, but the show could simplify it that way. Normally, you'd have to say, well, who is the actual... Whose bloodline is this continuing through? Or who's, like, the king and who's the... Is he the queen consort, or king consort, or is she the queen consort? You know... I used the term dowager in a past season, past episode incorrectly. Dowager is widow. So that's when you rule because you're the widow of the ruler or the widower of the ruler. And so consort is the marriage partner in the royal marriage. So if you're the queen and the king marries you, he's the king consort. You're still the queen because you inherited the throne. And if you're the king and queen marries you, she's the queen consort. So... But I don't know, like, the show doesn't have to deal with that. They can just be like, hey, we're co-rulers. You know, the books would need to spell that out a little more, but...
It would be interesting to deal with. And maybe they even deal with it in a superficial manner. But I think that the show is ending at the end of the battle against the undead. It's not ending with the drawing up of a new constitution for Westeros. You know what I mean? It might matter that their kid is legitimate no matter what. That's what might matter, something like that. And I totally agree with you. I think Jon doesn't really want to be king of the North. He was kind of thrust on. He's like, oh,
he didn't
fine.
Want that. Yeah.
Only to the extent that it gets people united against the White Walkers, you know? Something I've been curious about is how Dany would feel. You know, she's been on this mission to be queen pretty much just because she thinks she's supposed to be queen, right?
Yeah.
And on this mission, she's taken on some noble causes, right? Like freeing the slaves or whatever. But even as Tyrion presents the idea of like, hey, maybe we should like think about how rulers should work. No. Just get me on the throne. We'll talk about this later. Just get me on the throne. You know?
Yeah.
Well, what if all of a sudden she's not supposed to be on the throne? What if it's actually supposed to... Does she shift her gears? Does she say, okay, all right, well... I'll bend the knee to Jon, and I'll do what you say, and I'll use my dragons the way you want, and I will listen to Tyrion about how we should choose rulers in the future. Or does she still... Now, obviously, if they're in love and getting married and having a kid, some of this conflict is gone. You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think the simple thing is. They just won't have this conflict because they don't need to, you know?
Yeah. I think that they'll certainly have some sort of conflict. I think the showrunners have indicated that there will be some sort of conflict because of this. I don't know. What we don't know is how much the incest aspect will matter and how much the throne issue. I can't imagine it won't matter at all. Like, what's the point of Jon being the trueborn son of Rhaegar and Lyanna if there's no conflict over it all? It's completely pointless if there isn't something to do with it, right? Otherwise, it's just it doesn't matter.
Well, I sort of see what you're saying, but I still think it matters to have the irony there. Does that make sense? Like, the having irony and mystery, even if the end it doesn't turn into something, still provides, at a minimum, entertainment and I don't know, adds to our how deep we get into it or how much we look at it or care about it. There's still value to that, even if it doesn't. Yeah. I considered that it's impossible that everyone knows anything about it. I'm thinking back during season two, you know, that everyone that knows might just die and that no one ever finds out this secret. That I have secrets that probably no one's ever going to know when I die. And
well,
I'm
this
sure
secret
we all
is
do,
definitely
you know,
coming
so.
Out, though.
Like, right. I agree it is coming out, but I'm really pointing that it might come out and... Like, for example, one thing that it will do is it'll make it easier for Sansa to just be Queen of the North. Like, it's not like she's holding a seat till Jon comes back. He's the freaking overall king, so she could just be Queen of the North, you know? That's a thing that it could... That's a way it can matter.
Sure, she's already Lady of Winterfell, though. I don't know that even matters. You know, she wouldn't be Queen of the North.
She'd
be Lady
of Winterfell,
which she already is.
Yeah, except I think it's temporary till Jon gets back right now, where it would become permanent if Jon went to sit on the
throne. Yeah, I guess so. But here's the thing. It just... These story points line up really well for a simple problem here. And again, if we stick to the simplicity, we have... Oh, they have this easy... solution, just get married. No, they don't, because it's incest. So that is the problem. So they have this like, oh, well, it's a simple solution that's taken off the board. Yeah. The simple solution isn't necessarily there.
I guess that this isn't covered as much in the show, but Cersei does seem to think, whatever, I'm pregnant with Jaime's kid, and I'm just going to tell everyone.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm not saying it's a problem for the population. I'm saying it's a problem for them, personally. Like, ooh.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. Well, I still wonder for them, if you keep in mind... I assume Jon knows that Ned Stark's parents were cousins, right? They haven't talked about this in a show, but
so much farther apart, though. That's cousins. Yeah. Like, that's just, this is aunt and nephew. This is still a lot closer.
But I'm merely pointing out how much precedent is set, because
again,
that also
again, that's
cousin.
Not doesn't matter though. I'm because I'm not making that point. I don't care about the precedent. The precedent's there. I'm not arguing that. I'm only saying that they might hate the fact that they're related and not want to marry because of that.
You think that even though the precedent is there, they won't get, even though the precedent is there and they're already in love and sleeping together and maybe even have
if
a
they
kid,
find out they're related, they may not be sleep. They may stop want to not stop. They may stop wanting to sleep together. That's what I'm saying. It's a personal issue, not a legal problem.
Okay, even at that point, let's say that you're right about that. Wouldn't they maybe still be okay with the political marriage?
They might. They might just be decide to
but that
get married
might be
and,
a conflict,
not, and not
so,
sleep together. Yeah, they could do that. Also, if and there's other things, but anyway, you can see basically as this conversation reveals, it's hard to tell because there's so much of it is personal. Like, how are Johnny and Danny going to feel about these things? We don't know yet. Like, their personal feelings are going to set the stage for all of this. You know, like you said, the precedent exists, but if they don't. If they're personally against it, the precedent doesn't matter. And but if they're for it, then it fits great. So we'll just have to see. All right, Josh Miller. The theme drops when Tyrion goes into frame during Jon and Danny scene. Wonder what that means. Do you think he made a secret deal with Cersei, or is he jealous? This is a super chat, by the way. I think it means he's jealous because we said before, there was the moment where there's already been hints that Tyrion is attracted to Danny. Like that's been established, not necessarily like. Unsubtly, but it's there. If you look, especially in that one scene in season 6 at the end when he's staring at the spot she was sitting at, that was the big one.
I don't think that he's not jealous, but I do think that there's way more to it than that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and we just have yet to learn what it is, but it's certainly a part of the setup for season 8. Is yes. Tyrion, it wasn't just Danny and Jon hooking up. There's more to it.
Yeah,
there's all this stuff we talked about with their relationship that they don't even know about yet. I mean, their family connection, John's real identity, and now Tyrion, maybe some sort of love triangle thing, or maybe something a little more sophisticated than just a love triangle. Super chat from Gildor.
Love rectangle. Love octagon.
Love is a wheel. Love is a ladder. Love is chaos. Chaos is a ladder. Why? Okay, so again, Gildor and Glory in Super Chat. Why don't the Night King and the White Walkers care about Essos? How are Slaver's Bay, Braavos, Pentos, etc. going to deal with this, if at all? Well,
one thing at a time.
Yeah,
Who says they don't care?
they don't care about Essos. I mean, maybe they do care about Essos. They just don't have a way to get there. And they were, if they were created by the Children of the Forest with a purpose, if they are just, you know, they seem to have some intelligence, but that doesn't mean they have sophisticated purpose. If their purpose is simple, like their prime directive was kill humans because that's what the children designed them for, then there are humans on the other continent, but I don't know. Maybe their goal is to take back this continent for the children. I don't know. We just don't know what they're...
They're like the Dothraki.
Yeah, they just like killing.
It's not that the Dothraki don't care about who's in Westeros. They just don't want to go across the water.
Yeah, there's enough for them to worry about here.
But we do think that if the Long Night comes from them, if they bring the Long Night with them, that'll affect the whole planet, and their whole planet will have, you know, reason to come help. Not that that's very likely, except for Melisandre.
Yes, that's
still the dangling plot line that seems to matter. As Euron is over there getting the Golden Company, we see Melisandre is doing something. And those forces may arrive at on Westeros to help or to force the issue a bit. So I think they'll come into things, but I don't think we'll see some grand army of collected from Slaver's Bay, like all these different people all showing up to help. You never know, though. I guess something like that could happen. Someone needs to take a white over there and show them.
Look,
this is real. From Andrew Duff. Night King is Lord of Light. He made Mel save Davos to protect Jon, so he became king. Meet Dany and go north. Clegane led them to him. Thoughts? Well, it's so hard to, you know, if you're going to get into the whole realm of the gods are kind of moving the pieces on the table and they can do it in really clever, subtle ways, there's really a million possible interpretations for how the gods could have set all this into motion, you know?
I don't think the Night King is the Lord of Light, but I can't imagine he's following a vision from the Lord of Light, you know, that he, in the same way that Melisandre and Beric, other people seem to be, even people who don't necessarily know or believe or care about the Lord of Light, like even Thoros himself is like, kind of, I guess I'm a priest, you know, like, yeah. I'm really having these visions, you know, like, Sandor didn't know, he was like worshiping the Lord of Light, but suddenly had these visions. Maybe the Night King is too. Maybe the Night King is also getting visions from the Lord of Light, you know.
Yeah, that's a good call. Acre Frey, super chat. I wonder what Tywin's view would have been to see that undead person. Would he have done more of a Jaime or more of a Cersei? He's smarter than both of them, but so focused on strengthening his family. It's a good question, a good what if. How would Tywin have reacted to the undead army? I think he would have... it's tough to say. He would have recognized the threat to the realm, and he kind of, like Stannis, would... you know, doesn't want to lose the kingdom. He's fine with the wildlings overrunning the north because he feels like he could probably clean that mess up later. But if the dead take over the north, like, that's losing a big chunk of the kingdom.
I feel like, based on everyone else's reactions, Cersei was shook. Brienne said, fuck loyalty. You know, everyone was reevaluating everything, you know. And I don't think Tywin as composed or wise or whatever he is, I think he would have been struck by this. Now, he, similar to Cersei, might not have been like, okay, drop everything, we'll do what you guys want. He might still have had some kind of
plan. He would have a plan. He would have had a plan for after. He would be thinking, planning out the whole thing.
Yeah.
He may not agree to the armistice with the plan of breaking it, because that's, you know, to him, maybe that's dishonorable. He doesn't care about honor. He cares about perception of honor, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So he may not want that stain on the family, but he would have some plan.
He probably would have had the wherewithal to bring up the thing that bothered me so much, is if Jon's saying, I can't do what you want, Cersei, because I already told Dany I'd do what she want. Dany just has to say, okay, Jon, stay in the north. Okay, Cersei, I'll stay in the north. That's what Dany told me. Like, okay, everyone happy. I think that would have occurred to Tywin as a way to negotiate this out, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so next question, another super chat from Baron Von Mogadon. Cheers for all the content, Sean, Aziz, and Ash. Can I give a shout out to my slumbering girlfriend, Rachel, to freak her out when she watches? Shout out to Rachel.
Hopefully she's not sleeping through this.
Yeah, you'll have to just rewind that part over and over. Shout out to Rachel. Shout out to Rachel. Shout out to Rachel. He also says, Tormund and Beric are dead, yeah? No. They are definitively, it's not just a matter of thought. It's been confirmed by the behind the scenes on their website. Tormund and Beric are not dead. It's maybe harder to catch, but if you see, when everybody else was running down the stairs, they ran west, which was smart. They ran along the wall rather than down
it. Across the top of the wall.
Yeah. It's like, imagine them going towards the next castle down the wall, which is pretty much their only choice now, because all the ladders and everything are just gone. So you could see them. You could see them, like, Tormund saw the wall collapse around them, like, right in front of them. They were, like, right on the edge, you know, nice action movie moment. They barely got across in time. But they're around. So they're that's cool. So we're glad to see that, because that would be kind of a... just an unsatisfying way to go out, and, you know.
Yeah.
On one hand, it would kind of get us back to the, you know, Game of Thrones has kind of backed off on killing main characters this last couple seasons. You know, they've definitely killed some major characters off, but we've pretty much always seen it coming. It's like, oh, Littlefinger's gonna die. Sure enough, Littlefinger died. You know.
I think that if they had died there, that A, they would have made it more clear, and B, the opening scene of next season would have been them opening up their blue eyes and droning into the massive zombies.
Yeah.
Which that might still end up happening, but I don't... obviously, or clearly, it's not. They're not dead yet. So,
Danny Jeter super chat. Do you think Hardhome should be John's go-to story?
Yeah. I guess so, although pretty soon he won't need stories. It'll just be widespread. This is happening. I mean, now they're in the North now. Now it's getting to the point where he's not going to have to prove it to anyone. You know, it's still going to be a few people that maybe doubt it, but
the Dragon Pit might be the go-to story now.
Okay, yeah, like, yeah, and it just...
The Queen saw it with her own eyes. Both Queens saw it with their own eyes.
Yeah. It's true, though, that that'll still be, you know, it's still an important, like, object lesson.
From Andrew Duff, Night King has more powers than Three-Eyed Raven and is posing as Lord of Light, similar to what Bran did to Hodor, prophecy manipulation against freedom. Well, that's interesting. Now, I tend to be down on convoluted behind-the-stuff things because they can't explain this. This would be difficult for them to present to the audience. Like, it's not hard to present to us. We get it right away. When you say this, I'm like, oh, I get where you're coming from. But the problem is, how do you present that to the people who don't know who Khaleesi is, or that her name is Daenerys? How do you get this to people that needed to have it explained what R plus L equals J means? Like, we knew R plus L equals J was spelled out. We didn't need this confirmation scene, but we knew it was coming because we knew that the greater fandom didn't get it yet. And I don't think that... I think this is maybe too complicated to explain to the fandom. And I also don't think they're going to... There's no way to explain it. We can't... how would they ever show that Night King is this? Also, we saw Night King get created by the children. And maybe that he can get in people's heads and do fake prophecy. I don't know. I can't say this is impossible. But this idea has the flaw of not being presentable to the fandom.
Yeah, yeah. It might even be something that happens in the books, because the books could elaborate more and show you things, get in someone's mind, and so on.
But. Of course, obviously that, you know, we have to take into account the fact that Night King may not even be a thing in the book, but you're right, that is possible in the books, absolutely. Snow and Winterfell says, Dan and Dave said there will be conflict over Jon and Dany, but they also said there'd be conflict between Sansa and Jon, so I doubt it's that serious, and there's only 6 episodes left, he says. Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. To be clear... This conflict with Jon and Dany, I do not expect it to make them to go to war with each other. I don't expect it will create some sort of lasting rift. I agree that it's going to be more like Sansa Arya or Sansa Jon, where it's like, oh, but you know they're going to work it out.
Yeah.
You know they're going to work it out. So I agree. So it might be kind of like, eh. You know they're going to work it out, whatever. But it may have some, you know, ripple effects on other things that may maybe matter. And another super chat from Bonnie Bracken. Could the Valonqar prophecy be fulfilled by Cersei dying in childbirth? The little brother being of Joffrey / Marcella Tommen. Extra irony if it's a dwarf. Shout out to my husband, Mike. Shout out to Mike Bracken, I guess, if Bracken's your real last name. Otherwise, shout out to Mike of uncertain last name. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's certainly... I guess that would fulfill the Valonqar prophecy. But the thing is, the Valonqar prophecy hasn't actually been mentioned in the show. It's just the only... part that's been mentioned is the part of her children dying. That part's in there. There's no the little brother's going to strangle you. That part isn't in the show. So Cersei's death, we have less ability to predict her death in the show than we do in the books, because in the books it's kind of given a prophecy to her death, but in the show we don't have that. So, and her arc has changed, as we know, dramatically from her book arc because of all these combining of plot elements. Super chat from the Snow and Winterfell. Gotta run, guys. Time to put the boys to sleep and then quality time with Wifey. Love the show and my fellow chatters. We'll watch full show tomorrow. See you on Book to Show. Gendry and Arya for the win. Thank you, Snow and Winterfell. We appreciate it very much. And indeed, we will see you on Wednesday. Andrew Duff, super chat. How do you think the Night King will be defeated or subdued? Do you foresee any main character deaths for season 8? Specific predictions about season 8 in terms of deaths, I think we'll hold off on that for now. That's something we can... spend some time thinking about. My first instinct, though, is Cersei or Euron, you know, like the guys who are sort of still kind of villainous characters, maybe. Some of the good guys, quote-unquote good guys, will die too, but that's harder to guess at, you know. I think the villains dying off seems like an easier prediction. Might not be right, but it feels... It's kind of hard to go against that,
yeah.
You know?
I would default to people who have already predicted, like, Beric.
yeah, for sure. Like, yeah. Beric, you're right. That's one that I also think he can't possibly survive the whole series. Could be wrong, though, you know? There'll be some surprises. How the Night King will be defeated or subdued? Well, the one theory we've already thrown out there is Arya. You know, she's... Like, the idea of anyone just standing toe-to-toe to him and fighting him seems kind of crazy. Although, it bears mention that it's the same actor playing Night King that played... the stuntman who played Arthur Dayne doing two-handed sword fighting. So if they need that actor to go to town, he can do it. Like, he's the most equipped on the entire show for sword fighting.
He's
like,
the stunt, or one of the stunt
coordinators. He's one of the actual, not just good at swords. Like, he's one of the actual show stunt coordinators for the show. Yeah, you're totally right. So, possibly, you know, archery, maybe taking him out, obsidian arrows, maybe. But now he's on a dragon, so that's harder. Like, by the way, obsidian arrows probably can't penetrate the dragon's hide. And I don't know that fire can kill that dragon because he's already a dragon, you know? Yeah. So that might be, they may have a real tough challenge there. But yeah, again, Arya maybe sneaking up on him, Valyrian steel, like her assassination.
It's new for me to even be thinking about this, but my default is the Night King doesn't actually get killed. He withdraws.
Mm.
He's defeated and withdraws back to the north.
It takes another 8,000 year nap.
The threat looms. Yeah.
That could be it,
and
yeah.
And Bran has to stand watch as a three-eyed Wayraven.
Yeah. Oof. Eternal vigil.
Yeah.
Another super chat from Lord Banza. Did the Night King have a plan to get past the wall before Viserion fell in his lap, or is he a greenseer and he knew he would get Drogon the whole time? It could be both. I think it would be almost silly to assume he doesn't have at least some kind of greenseer powers, because he already has these naturalistic magical abilities that seem to be corrupted versions of what the children can do, like using the dead instead of using live animals for warging. And
in the same way that Beric and Thoris didn't exactly have a plan other than go north. We have this destiny. We have to go north, you know?
Yeah.
It was an incomplete vision, but it still sent them on a mission. That's kind of what I think of the Night King. He knows he's got to go south. He maybe even knows he's got to capture this dragon. Maybe he doesn't know the timing of it or what the dragon's capabilities are, but he's kind of just following this sense of destiny that he has, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, figure out the details of the plan on the way. He has a generic plan, but maybe didn't have the exact method figured out. But now he does. You know?
Maybe that's why they had the chains.
Yeah, right. That's why I think they had the exact.
Yeah,
why
the chains may have
been
part of climbing the wall or something.
It's also maybe why it happened at the location that it did.
Yeah.
If there's not this frozen lake for the dragon to fall into, maybe he just burns up and he can't resurrect him. But if he falls into the frozen water, then he can resurrect him. And to resurrect him, we got to pull him out with chains. And I think the Night King had all that planned out.
So. I definitely think he had some kind of plan. Maybe they're never going to spell it out what it was. But yeah, like they're clearly intelligent. I mean, you saw whites were running past the party to get to the imprisoned white to free him. They were trying to stop that from happening.
Yeah.
like that was intelligence at play. And you know it wasn't the individual white making that call.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to take this upon myself to free my undead brother. No, one of the walkers was guiding them. Yeah.
Yeah, and even if it was, that makes them even more of a threat. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That was his real... those two were brothers when they before they died. I was like, that's my brother you're tearing away. Super chat from Alan Petty Jr. Night King and White Walkers had three ice spears with them specifically for killing a dragon. It was a planned trap. Yeah. I mean, and they've had those spears since season one or season two. They've been seen with these ice spears. But they were, but apparently these spears have been usable for this purpose for a long time. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, we're with you on the trap theory being very strong. Like, I can't say, yes, it was definitely a trap, but I'm pro that theory. He may very well. That's a good thing to go look for, Bran. Sam, tell Bran to go look for that. Yeah, I mean, the possibilities for what Bran could see in history are just so vast that it's almost like, well, what can the show give us? You know, they've got to dial that in to narrow those possibilities down and really get a lot of bang for their buck. If they're going to show us some visions, some flashbacks, they got to make sure that those scenes pack a punch. Showing us the original Aes or Ahab may be a bit much, but man, that would be cool. Got to think about that. I'm going to marinate on that idea for a while. Think about that some more.
It's one of those things that'd be hard to present. There's not enough context. They only have so much time. I think it'd be a difficult thing to squeeze in there. But
super chat from Rebecca, Rebea, Lady of Waves, that would be, why didn't Cersei kill Tyrion? Was it love or strategy? I think it was strategy, because if she kills Tyrion, she gives up the game that she's trying to play nice and then backstab everyone later. If she kills Tyrion, then that's an act of war, killing the Hand of the Queen.
Also makes her a kinslayer. And also, there may be some heart left in her. You know, Tyrion called her bluff, you know.
Like, I think mostly it was just strategy.
Yeah.
Like, it gives up her whole plan if she attacks Tyrion.
I agree mostly, and by mostly not 51%, 99%. But I give Cersei 1% love in her heart for Tyrion.
And Rebea also says, 200,000 views, Sean gets dancing with a cat.
200,000? Man, 1,200.
Yeah. Well, she's saying views, not just live watchers, I think.
Oh, views.
Viewers. Well, if she means 200K viewers, yeah, that's too many. Yeah, we'll set that bar lower. What's that?
She meant 2K.
2K. 2K.
Oh, 2K. Okay, yeah. That's much more reasonable. Okay, so let's get to some of these super chats that have been building up while we were getting our way through through King's Landing there. First of all, Meredith Glassberg. Now Bran is someone there to help him sift through his memories and Samwell. Yeah, that's awesome. They're such a great combo. Didn't see that coming. Should have, probably, because it fits so well.
You know who else could really help there? Gilly.
Yeah, Gilly was on Zappa. Like, can you check to make sure it was actually 1,582 or 15,782 steps in the Great Sept? Can you sit there and count them? And yeah, so that's really cool. Related question, or related super chat from Daniel Hickey. Sam picks Bran's brains to write A Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah, because we talked about that when, like, after the fact, maybe Sam is the one who's getting to write a book because of that scene, you know, that scene with the Maester where he's like, the war is following the death of King Robert. He's like, that title,
No, I like this a little extra, given what I was talking about at the very beginning of the story, is how is this story even being told?
Yeah.
Right? There's probably going to be some things that we as viewers watching are like, that doesn't make sense. Well, maybe that's not reality. That's just the story that Sam wrote, and he didn't know all the details, so.
Super chat from Danny Jeter. Varys was useless this season. Tyrion was blamed a lot, yeah. We were doing our crackpot theories about Varys turning tail, and then we backed off on those after that scene with Varys and Tyrion drinking wine together, because Varys seemed legitimately like, I want to make this work. Like, that didn't seem fake at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, it did kind of end up with Varys doing very little. And that was part of why we were worried about him being in the season. Like, well, what does he have to do? So either he's going to die or turn on Dany, because Tyrion's doing all the, you know, the stuff here. So, but apparently no, there's still a role for him. Melisandre said he's going to die, you know, next season. So that sucks, because apparently Melisandre might be wrong. She's wrong sometimes, but she's probably right about that one.
I'd like to think that Varys dies trying to do the right thing. He's a martyr in the end. He's a good guy in the end.
And what it could mean is that because he was useless this season, it could mean that they still have something in mind for him and he will become unuseless later.
Right. Kind of like know. Royce. They kept him around even though he's in the background. They made sure we knew he's still there. They make sure we know Varys is still there, so he's got a plan.
Still a few things to do. Yeah, definitely.
A role to play.
Super chat from Purple She-Wolf, who says, Arya acting as executioner for Sansa. Does it simply mean that the Stark kids work together as a collective wolf pack to carry out justice? That's kind of cool because, you know, he who passes the sentence swings a sword. In this case, she who passes the sentence, sister, swings the dagger. but yeah, they kind of did. Yeah, they kind of did work together. And they worked together to bring him down, too, because they set that all up. Like, it seems pretty clear that everyone in the room knew what was going on except for Littlefinger. Like, the guards even knew what was up. Because, like, they looked right at him when he was accused. He was like, what? And they, no one, you know, they were like, and Royce was like, I'm not helping you. You know, yeah. Like, I've been wanting to get rid of you, man. I'm taking this opportunity. Okay, what else do we have here? The children eventually lost control of Night King. Then we saw the White seemingly make an independent decision to walk across the ice. Do you think the Night King may not have complete control over all the Whites? Yeah, we talked about that, them having some basic, you know, flight or fight, probably not flight. There's nothing that would make the undead run away at this point, I don't think. But there's some, you know, lingering humanity. Not humanity, lingering instincts in them, you know. And it's something that's not fully explained. But yeah, we talked about that on episodes. Not to say we didn't, you know, I didn't mean that as a negative. But we brought this concept up and talked about this and said, yeah, I think so. It does seem to be that they can do some things on their own. They're not just completely automatonic. Automaton? That's not a word. They're not complete automatons. There's some sort of stimulus they can respond to.
I wonder, I haven't gone down too deep this hole, but I've had a few conversations that come up, because a lot of my friends also watch The Walking Dead, which, by the way, is also filmed here in Atlanta, and it's about zombies, and we've got all these zombies here. And so a lot of times they'll make assumptions about what the zombies do or how they work, and I point out, well, that's not, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Like, is there, like, a definition of what a zombie is, right?
Yeah.
And let's say there was. Is George exactly following that definition? And say he is. Are D&D? And say they are. Can there never be an exception to it? Because we already seem to see some exceptions to it. Like, Benjen behaves differently than Beric behaves differently than the White Walkers, than the average white, you know? So, I don't know. I just think that they seem to be actively avoiding some of the standard zombie tropes. Like if it bites you or scratches you, whatever, you turn into one.
Yeah.
And so if they seem to be avoiding that one, they probably aren't following all the others either. So so that makes me wonder if the zombies can maybe, depending on how long they've been dead or the circumstances of their death, like maybe just a skeleton that's barely holding itself together, just go kill. But maybe a blacksmith that just died at Hardhome and got resurrected almost right after that might still be able to blacksmith. You know, they definitely can work together as a team to pull on chains. You know, it seems like they have some amount of consciousness. They can use weapons, swords, you know. So I wonder how capable they are beyond what you usually think of as just mindless droning zombies.